Tonight we're reading in Judges. Invite your attention, please, for just a few moments to the book of Judges in chapter number 6 as we consider a few things about Gideon. Judges chapter number 6, and we'll pick up at verse 1 in just a moment. Like what a young boy said at an office one day, his name was Robert. They were always making fun of him for being small and young, and he said, I can do what nobody else can do in this office. And they said, what's that? And he said, I can keep from swearing. Amen. I like that. You know, the world can't keep from swearing. It's one way you can tell somebody needs to be saved. Their mouth will tell on them, won't it? And God's people ought to be different. You ought to be able to tell a Christian by the way they talk. Amen. Judges chapter 6, verse number 1 and following. We want to look at the excuses of Gideon for just a little bit this evening by the help of God and your prayers. The excuses of Gideon. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel. Neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him, that's Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We want to think for just a few moments about Gideon, God's call and commission to this man. He was one of the judges. He's quite familiar to us, along with Samson. Probably they're the most familiar of the judges in the Word of God. I was just reading this passage recently and noticed how many excuses he makes. He almost talks himself out of what God has planned for him and wants him to do. He reminds me of Moses. Do you remember when God called Moses? Moses made one excuse after the other. Even though he was the perfect candidate, he lived in Egypt for 40 years. He lived in the desert for 40 years. He knew he was a Jew. He had the training, the education. He was ready to deliver God's people, but he said, Lord, not me. I can't talk. Lord, I stutter. You don't want me. I can't do it. And Lord, if I go, Pharaoh's not going to listen, and even the Jews are not going to listen. And they're going to want to know who I am, and aren't I the one that killed somebody? And they're going to want to know who you are. And Lord, I just wish you'd send somebody else. One excuse after the other. There almost was no Moses. And if he had had his way, there would have been no rest of the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He just almost was so stubborn and unwilling that God passed him by. Excuses. Well, Gideon's the same way, one excuse after another. The nation's in terrible condition here. You know the cycle. They were blessed by the Lord. They did well for a while, and then they started to backslide, and God had to chastise them and send them into captivity, or else let a foreign power come in like the Midianites and impoverish them. That's the case here. The nation is in terrible condition because of the Midianites. The people are afraid, and the Midianites are conducting raids, and Gideon himself here is hiding from the enemy, and God's people are in a terrible predicament. And I didn't read verses 7 through 10, but if you read on, the prophet reminds the people that it's their fault. It's their fault. God sent a prophet, verse 8 says, and through him God said, I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and brought you into this land and drave out the Canaanites. I gave you this land. And God said, I told you not to listen to their gods and bow down to their gods. But you did. You disobeyed me. You have not obeyed my voice. Verse number 10. So God is reminding them it's their fault. You're in a bad shape, a sorrowful plight, but you didn't listen, and it's your fault. But the good news is that these people are going to begin to pray and seek God and repent, and God's going to raise up another judge, and this time it's Gideon. God's already raised up several judges and delivered him in the previous chapters. So we're introduced now to Gideon, our hero. And we detect fear in Gideon immediately. Because there comes an angel from heaven and sits under an oak tree. And nearby is Gideon, the son of Joash. Verse 11, he's threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites because they'd steal it. So we immediately see his fear. He's hiding from the enemy. Then he asks some very rhetorical questions as he talks to the angel here for a little while. And he's almost blaming God. You know, when you read the Bible, you know what it says. Sometimes you don't know exactly how it was said. You know, there's 50 different ways to say thank you. You know, for example, we don't know the tone. We don't know if he's in despair. We don't know if he's being a hypocrite. We don't really know here, except he says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? What do you mean, Gideon? You know why. You know why the Midianites have overrun the land. God said plainly that if you disobeyed and served the gods of the Canaanites, this is what would happen. What do you mean, why? That was it. Sounds dishonest to me. And what do you mean, if? And then he says, where? God, you're not working. God, it's your fault. Where's all your miracles we've heard about? You brought our fathers out of Egypt, but now you've forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So he doesn't sound much like a hero, does he, at the beginning? He doesn't say, well, hello there, Mr. Angel. It's a surprise to see you. So glad to see you. And we sure do need help. And we've sinned yet again. And we need to repent. And is there any way you can have mercy upon us? Oh, no, he just one excuse after another. Here's doubt. Here's depression. Here's misery. Here's dishonor. All these are brought on by sin. And Gideon's got a very short memory because he's talking about how God's not done anything for the nation. If you just back up a couple verses, God delivered them from one of their enemies through the hands of Barak and Deborah. And if you keep on reading, God had delivered them through Shamgar, another judge, and other judges, Othniel, another judge, Ehud, another judge. Gideon, you're not being honest. You're saying God's not done anything for the nation. God had raised up a number of judges besides the book of Joshua. God has worked. Every time there was sincere repentance, God raised up a judge. God delivered them and gave them their freedom back. Gideon, you're not being honest. God uses unlikely people, doesn't he? He really does. So he's got short memory. Here's a fella having a pity party. You ever been to one of them? Only takes one person for that party. Gideon is blaming God. Gideon is cursing the darkness instead of lighting a candle. And he's making excuses. And God's going to take all them excuses away, thankfully. But it takes a while. I know we don't like to think of ourselves making excuses, but we probably do sometimes. Remember when you were lost? That's the main reason people are not saved. They make excuses. Lord, I'll do that another day. That's an excuse. Lord, I'm too good to be saved. That's an excuse. I'm too bad to be saved. That's an excuse. There's too many hypocrites in the church. That's an excuse. On and on, the reason people don't get saved, excuses. And many times in the lives of Christians, Percheray used to tell about being on a train and his reluctance. You're not going to believe this story if you don't already know it, but he'd been to the Southern Baptist Convention in Atlanta. He's coming back home on a train, 1944. The air conditioner went out. He said it was incredibly, uncomfortably hot. He asked for permission to go to a part of the train where he could get a little air blowing through the window. And he hadn't been back there too long, and the conductor came to him and said, "There's three ladies up here that want to see you. They've heard you're on this train, and they want you to preach." He reluctantly went. He gave every excuse in the world. They said, "Brother Ray, we heard you on this train. We're from Dyersburg, Tennessee. We want you to preach right now." He says, "It's too hot." He said, "Next time, let me have your name and phone number. Next time I'm in your area, I'll call you and you can come and hear me preach." They said, "Oh, no, no, we won't hear you. I don't usually preach on trains." We've already got permission from the conductor. Another excuse. He said, "I don't preach without singing." They said, "We got 24 song books." He said, "But you don't have a music director." He said, "Oh, yes, we do. Our music directors." One excuse after another. He finally consented, finally stood there and preached. Two soldiers came forward and got saved. One of them said, "Brother Ray, I'm so glad you preached today." He said, "I'd been dead and in hell tomorrow." He said, "I was going home on this train, kiss mom and daddy and go out and hang myself." Another boy said, "I'm so glad you preached, Brother Ray, got saved today." Said, "I'm headed to the battlefield. I done kissed mom and daddy goodbye. I know I'll never make it back alive. I'm glad." You say, "I'd never do that. I'd never make an excuse like that." Well, good, don't. But most Christians do. Most Christians do. Well, despite all this, Gideon gets his great commission from God, who tells him to go and save Israel from the Midianites, and says, "Have not I sent you?" And by the way, this is what election looks like in the Bible. Election is chosen for service. That's election. God chose him for service. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's got everything to do with service. And even here, Gideon could have said no. He could have said no. There have been many who said no. Vance Abner said, "My daddy was called to preach and he never answered the call. Said no his whole entire life." So God never forces. He offers. And it was a great honor, a great privilege. But he had to consent. And he's still not done with his excuses. A few more excuses to go. But it's just encouraging here, God's mercy, God's patience. Here, and I believe this angel is a pre-incarnate Christ. It looks that way, certainly. The scripture says the Lord looked on him and said, the Lord looked on him. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord looks on us and sees in us far more than we see, and sees not what we are, but what we can be by his help. A look of expectation. That's what Gideon got. God's exciting hope in his heart. God's giving him a little encouragement, telling him that he's counting on him to do a mighty work. and to save the nation from the hands of the enemy. And God's lighting a spark in his soul to this mighty campaign. But he still got a few more excuses. He says, but Lord, I'm poor and I'm obscure. Lord, are you sure? Me? Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family's poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. Lord, I'm the most unlikely man in the world. Well, good. Good, Gideon. That means God will have to do it all, doesn't it? That means when it does happen, God will get all the glory. That's why God has always used unlikely people, so that he would get all the glory. That's why I used a stammering Moses, and why all the 12 disciples were unlikely candidates. You would have never picked a one of them. Amen. So Gideon's an unlikely fella, but God's putting something in him. But he's still got a few more excuses. He thinks his poverty is an excuse. He thinks his obscurity is an excuse. He thinks his weakness is an excuse. Well, they are excuses, but they're not reasons. There is a difference. A reason's legitimate, an excuse is not. If somebody says, I can't come to church, I'm sick, that's not an excuse, that's a reason. Yeah. Somebody says, well, I can't come to church, I don't want to, my favorite show's on. You don't have a reason. That's an excuse. There's a difference. Amen? There's a difference. So all Gideon's got is excuses. But God is not going to change his mind. And he says, no, you're going to do it, and I'm going to be with you, and I'll help you, and I'll be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 16, that's God's promise. Gideon, you've got God's promise. You've got God's presence. You've got God's help. What more do you need? God said, I'll be with you. Surely you'll smite the Midianites. So there's no argument. Gideon's helplessness is no argument against God's grace and power. Victory certain now. From this point on, the enemy doesn't have a chance. This is good as done. And God tells this man, I see what you can be. Isn't it wonderful how God addressed him? Immediately the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon was no mighty man of valor yet, but God saw what he could be. Amen. He was a coward, but God said, I'll be with you, and here's my promise, and you're going to smite the enemy. And here's a man who goes from fear to faith and cowardice to courage. And from defeat to dependence on God. It's all about God. It's not about us. If it was just about us, we'd fail all the time. But when God says, I'll be with you, and here's my promise ahead of time, Gideon finally accepts the call. Lord, with your help, with your promise. And Gideon says, I need just a little bit more if you don't mind, Mr. Angel. How about you doing a little miracle for me? Give me a little token here. And he touches the rock, and fire comes out of the rock. And Gideon says, okay, I'll do it. You're real, and this is real, and let's go. A reluctant hero. Finally, his excuses are all done. It'd be a happy day when you quit saying God can't and start saying God can. When you quit saying I can't and start saying I can with God's help. When you quit saying I won't and say I will with God's help. Christians have no reasons, really, just usually excuses. I've heard David Ring say this. He was born with cerebral palsy. He can't walk right. He can't even talk right. He can't even say Jesus. He cannot say Jesus. But he traveled the nation for many years. What's our excuse tonight? If we're able-bodied, if we can talk, what's our excuse, really? I remember when we were in Ireland one day, I was out knocking on doors and talking to people. It was a rainy day, like today. And I was thinking, you know, why am I doing this? And what's the good in this? And you've been there, I'm sure. And I went into a post office and there was a man in a wheelchair. And the Lord said, now that man's got an excuse, but you don't. If you were blind, it'd be different. If you were in if you had a mental problem or a physical problem, it'd be different. But for most of us tonight, we have no excuse. Amen. It happened at a Christmas parade one time. This fellow was passing out tracts, just going along the street, passing out tracts, saying nothing to nobody. And two Christian fellows were making fun of him. Well, I wouldn't do that. And besides that, he's not even saying hello to them. He's just handing them a tract and not even saying a word. And somebody tapped one of them on the shoulder and said, the reason is that fella cannot talk. Now, if you can't talk, you've got a reason. But if you can talk, you don't. Amen. We might need to get rid of some of our excuses. We've certainly forfeited a lot of blessings because of our excuses. I hope we hadn't talked God out of what he wanted to do through us. A missionary was speaking. He was 90 years old. He said, I'm going back to the field. They said, oh, surely not. You're 90 years old. You can't go back to the field. This was back before airplanes, when you went by ship and took months to get there. And he said, I'm going back. He said, there's nobody volunteering to go. There's nobody, it doesn't seem like being called to go. I'm going back, he said. As many people as are praying for laborers, it might not be that. I thought for a long time that God was not calling anybody. I've changed my mind. God is calling. Some are just giving excuses. That's bound to be part of the problem. So let's learn from Gideon. This is chapter 1. There's more to come. God's raised him up for such a time as this. He sure was reluctant. How much better? Don't you think it'd be better next time God has a job for you just to say, yes, Lord. I'd be glad to, Lord. Not, Lord, I can't do it. Use somebody else. Lord, I'm poor and obscure. And Lord, it's all your fault anyway. We're in this mess. And what an attitude. What an attitude. Say yes, Lord. It'll be my privilege. God said, I sought for a man or a woman even to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, but I found none. And another place he said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. God said, I'm looking for a showcase. God said, I want to show myself through you. We get that all backwards. God ain't a bit interested in showing you. Amen. He wants to show himself through you. You know what a showcase is? My dad used to have showcases. He'd have some very expensive knives, and he'd put them in big, black, beautiful showcases with black velvet background. You didn't really notice the showcase, but it housed, it highlighted, it accented what was inside. A showcase. You know what it is. They still call it that, a showcase. That's what God's looking for. You're the showcase, and He's the attraction. Amen. Are you a candidate for that? Are you a candidate for making a name for Him? When you walk out of a room, people ought to say, God has done something for him. Amen. Not he's a great or she's a great. No, God has done a work, is doing a work. That's a showcase. Amen. No more excuses. Let's stand for prayer tonight. Thank you for being here. God bless you.